we're not really going to look forward to next week. We're going to look back at today, this afternoon.
Surf City.
What were you doing?
Well, I was at View Royal Parks.
Okay.
Hanging out with some wonderful people.
Pulling blackberry bushes.
Pulling blackberry. How about yourself?
I was at the Cridge McDonald House.
Nice.
Brain injury. We were power washing and I'm covered in dirt. I had a good time.
Oh, we had a fantastic time. Yeah, thanks to all the organizations that serve our community.
Yeah.
Love partnering with people who love our city and love our people, and they're certainly there.
Yeah.
We actually bumped in one of our councilmen from View Royal, and he's joined us for the barbecue.
Nice.
It's just so cool to be all served together. So if you missed out this year, you're going to want to hit up next year and get it cool.
You should.
Yeah.
So thanks so much for everyone who were involved. Thanks to the organizations. Let's go continue to serve our city in other ways.
Yep. God bless everyone.
See ya. Woohoo, you did make a huge difference. Now, is there anybody out there who was at Serve the City yesterday who suddenly today have muscles that they didn't necessarily know they had yesterday? Because that's me. I was power washing, and this whole side of my body is like, what? There's muscles there? It's crazy, but it means we did good work. So no pain, no gain, right? Yeah, thank you so much to all of you who are involved. We had a great Saturday just serving our city in multiple ways, and we couldn't have done it without you. If it was just me and Lindsay, we would not have made a very big impact. I mean, it would be fine, but it's so much better when we do it together. So thank you for joining us in that. It was fantastic. I'm going to invite you to stand as we get started to worship our God together on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and the Kwungan peoples. And our call to worship is just based out of Psalm 130, and it says this. I'm going to start my little thingies there, too. In your words, I hope. My soul waits for you, God, more than those who wait for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. Jesus, we hunger for you, the bread of life, and we thirst for you, O God. People of God, that's you guys and me. People of God, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is unfailing love. His redemption overflows. He himself will redeem us from every kind of brokenness. Jesus, we hunger for you, the bread of life, and we thirst for you, O God. So let's worship our God together. Let's sing "The Battle Belongs."
There's nothing impossible for you.
Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. No mighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. No mighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine. And you give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's great. You give life, you are love, you bring. lights went out. When death acclaimed its victory, the King of Love had given up his life, the darkest day of history. There on a cross they made for sinners, for every curse his blood atoned. For the give you praise, God, our Savior. Yeah, God, we're just so grateful for who you are. That you're a God who knows the battles that we are up against, and that we are fighting alongside you, that you have won the ultimate victory. Yeah, God, we just thank you for the breath in our lungs today that allows us to sing these songs of praise to you. You are so worthy of it all. So we give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you praise, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, you may have a seat, and kids, if you want to head to the back and find Shyla, she would love to take you up to your kids' program where you guys can continue to worship there. And for a long time, we've been in a series about we the church. What does it mean for us to be the church? And we finished that up last week, and this week we're launching into a new sermon series where we're going to look at who Jesus said that he was, looking at the I am statements of Jesus. And so take a look at this little video to kind of summarize what we're heading into, and then Lindsay will come up and share with us.
Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. Great to have all of you in the room and those of you joining us online. It is a beautiful day out, and it's so good to be together. As I've been thinking about today and what God has been laying on my heart, and just through some of the experiences this past week, it's just evident to me that we need Jesus more today than we ever have. I mean, we just really do. We need him. And so I'm excited about this series, these next few weeks. We're going to be running this series until, yes, I can't wait, Ben and Kirsten Hall show up. If you somehow have missed the memo, okay, Lindsay is good with losing interim, and we are really excited about Ben and Kirsten Hall coming to join us and their family, to come and join us in our church family. They're going to be here on July 2nd. That's going to be their first Sunday. So you can be praying for it. If you've ever moved, you know what they're going through. And so, yeah, you go ahead and just pray for them and think about them as they're getting ready. Recently, digging around in our cupboards, we realized that we had our bread maker in the very back part of the corner cupboard. You got one of those corner cupboards where there's stuff that's just been there now for decades, maybe, depending on how long you've lived there. And, you know, I'm one of these guys that when I buy, you know, gifts for my wife, sometimes it feels like they kind of need to be practical. I don't know. Brenda's already laughing at me. Not the way to go always. But I bought our bread maker one year. That just seemed like a good idea. We had four kids. Why not? So anyhow, we dug this bread maker out because I can't get rid of anything, and handed it off to our son-in-law. Our son-in-law loves being in the kitchen. He's fantastic. He makes really good cinnamon buns. These were not a part of the bread maker. With the bread maker, though, he is discovering bread again, and we're discovering fresh bread. We had some raisin bread the other day, people, that was just outstanding. Oh, it was so, so good. So, you know, bread, right? Staple. We all need bread to varying degrees or the other, and sadly some get allergic, and I just don't know how you do life with that. I mean, there's white bread. We just had our kids come back. One of our children still just cannot
not have white bread, right? Like we generally kind of grow out of that, unless it's a hot dog bun or a hamburger bun. No brown bread on a hot dog or a hamburger, people. And lettuce is a part of the thing. It ain't the covering of the thing. But anyhow, that's just a whole nother story. I remember watching my dad eat bread, and he went away from the white bread when I was still enjoying that, and he started eating what I called birdseed bread. It's actually really good. Who knew, right? Like, I actually can really kind of enjoy that. I think an underrated bread is sourdough. Right, is anyone with me on that? Like, sourdough is, yeah, attaboy. Sourdough is so, so good. Love it. Focaccia. Come on now. Little cups with balsamic oil. Little dipping and swirling, right? So, so good. And I've discovered naan bread, and I got to tell you, I ain't going back. That is so good. That is just so, so good. You walk past Cobb's. We've got a Cobb's right near our place. It just slays me every time. Bread, it's a staple. This morning, yes, you already figured it out. You saw it on the preview. We're looking at this concept that Jesus said about himself, that he is the bread of life. As Kim said, we were doing a series, We the Church, and that series was started off with this question where Jesus asked Peter, hey, who do you say that I am? Who are people saying that I am? And Peter made this big declaration, and Jesus said, you know, I'm going to build my church on that. That is true. I am the Savior of the world, the Messiah. I've come to establish a church, and nothing will stop it. And just by our existence here today, it's true. Nothing's going to stop the church. But that's who other people were saying who Jesus is. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'd like to kind of help people understand who I am. Because sometimes when people talk about me, I'm like, really? Is that who I really am? And maybe it actually is. That's the sad reality. But I might want to have a chance to maybe declare a little bit about who I am. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. Who did Jesus say that he was? What's that all about? If you got a Bible, something with a Bible on it, turn to John chapter 6. Starting at verse 25, John chapter 6, starting at verse 25, and my PowerPoint crashed this weekend, and I didn't want to go into dark spaces in my brain to try to figure it out, and so there's no little TV screen here, and there's no scripture up there. We're going old school. Can you handle it? Oh, some of you are like, yay! Some of you are like, I don't know what to do now. I just follow along as I read, I guess. John 6, 25, when they had found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, this is Jesus, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me. He ignored their question. He does that every once in a while. Gets right to the heart of things. Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me. Not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Well, Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it was written, and he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. Familiar passage, maybe. But I want us just to kind of hang out at the end there for a moment. Do you not find it hard to believe that if you saw Jesus do what he had done, the miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, or like walking on water, that it would be still hard to believe? You see, folks, we are in a struggle here that starts the day we're born and carries on to discover what true reality is, to discover the things that truly matter. And even when Jesus was here on earth and he was displaying all these amazing attributes and doing these incredible things and interacting with people in ways that they'd never witnessed before, they were struggling with what was real and what needed to be significant in their life. And so I'm just here to say the struggle really is real. It was real for them, and it's real for you and I today. And that's why we need to come and we need to gather. We need to be with others and to be trying to figure out how do we continue to discover the trueness, the reality of who our God is. They had seen him. They had experienced him. And yet Jesus could say, yet you still do not believe. Jesus now uses the analogy of the appetite. And listen, we all have appetites for various things in various ways. And he said, I am the bread of life. I still am the bread. I was the bread of life way back, and I am the bread of life now, and I will be the bread of life in the future. Hebrews 1 talks about how God in the past spoke in various different ways to his people, but when Jesus came, he revealed the fullness of who God is in every way, shape, and form through Jesus. And he continues to do that for you and for me today. And we can discover him. He says, listen, I will satisfy you. I will fill that need. Whoever comes to me, he said, will never go hungry. He gave these miracles. He talks about how God provided for the Israelites. That was the reference of the manna in the deserts and all. And that was crazy. Every single day, God provided for these people. He fed the 5,000. It's unbelievable. Like, how does that work? But you and I have an appetite beyond just filling our stomach. We all do. And Jesus is saying, I've got something for you that is as basic and necessary to you spiritually as food is to you physically. Just as significant. Significant for you and for me. Now, let's not miss this. Jesus is saying, I am the answer to that why question, that what question, that how question that has been going on since the beginning of time. Those questions that crash into our brains on a regular basis and will always because we are in a struggle. And it's not really surprising to read that we can miss him. Life on earth can be pretty amazing. There's so much beauty that, like, it's just amazing what we can be a part of here on earth. And not only that, but life also on earth can be really hard. And so both of those things can cause us sometimes to get distracted and not see and maybe understand. So right at the top of this reading in verse 27, Jesus says to them, listen, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. And he's saying, listen, it's very possible to get distracted here on earth. Isaiah chapter 55, this is one that, if you've been around for a while, you know I reference on a fairly regular basis. I just find it to be fascinating, and it just ties with this John chapter 6 verse passage. Isaiah wrote this, come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. In other words, it's a gift. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good. And you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. Just as Isaiah was using the analogy of our appetite, Jesus was as well. He wasn't talking about the 100 different kinds of breads that are out there for us to devour. He's talking about our souls coming alive and finding the deep satisfaction that we so desperately need. Augustine, one of the early church influencers, among many influencers throughout church, authors, writers, leaders, talked about how easy it is to get things confused. There's so many beautiful things that we have opportunity to enjoy in life. So many things that could possibly distract us if they take over top billing in our life, top spot in our life. Good things, fine things, temporary things, but if they all of a sudden are trying to take on the ultimate place in our life, we'll never satisfy. Authors write it this way, they'll say they just can't bear the weight of that responsibility. The only thing that can, the only person who can is Jesus. I mean, we struggle with prestige. We want prestige. We struggle with accumulation, the new and the shiny, right? Maybe it's power that you struggle with that you just desperately need. Maybe it's body image, corner office maybe, contract sales, starting up a new business. Like, all of these things can be okay and fine and maybe even very necessary, right? But none of them are the ultimate thing. None of them are. And when we start pursuing them as the ultimate thing, to use Jesus' analogy, they spoil and they rot and they rust and they can never fully satisfy. But we struggle with it, at least I do. I struggled with it this week. I got into a beautiful headspace, and I am not serious, of the why can't I? And I had my head on a swivel, and I was checking everybody out and frustrated. Why can't I? Everybody else, like I'm still a teenager, everybody else has got it, Dad. Why can't I? And I got into a space that just really was not a good space for me. Into this comparison game, this wanting these other things, and it just got me to a place of complete dissatisfaction and frustration. And it wasn't until I had this opportunity to just sort of slow down and be reminded again. And Jesus is very consistent on this. We need to put the ultimate things in first. We need to put the big rocks in first. We need to put Jesus first. And when we learn to do that, when we learn how to seek him first, when we learn how to put him first, these other things find their proper place and their proper importance in our life. Listen, these other things are important. Jobs are important. Showing up to work, it's kind of a big deal, right? Being a parent, yep. You can't just all of a sudden decline that little waiver. No, you got to be there. But how are you there? What's the priority? Where are those things? It's okay to have some stuff, but just remember it's stuff. It's important. There are important, significant, crucial things in our life, but they got to be in the right spot. They are not the ultimate thing. And this is what Jesus is coming to remind us, that life will have the new, shiny, important stuff, but let's make sure we keep the main thing, like keep Jesus at the forefront, the first thing. And this is the appetite that he's referring to, and he so desperately wants to satisfy for us. Because what he knows, what he's seen, what I know, what I have personally experienced, and what I've seen in others, we can sometimes try to fill this appetite with other things, and it never fully satisfies. And so they hear this. Okay, Jesus, fine. We thought you were talking about actual bread. That was pretty cool. Just want to say. Then what must we do? then what must we do? Then what must we do to do the work that God requires? The work of God is this: to believe in the one he has sent. To believe in Jesus. Like, not only to believe in him, but to believe the things that he's trying to help us to understand. How to find the right priorities, how to find the right emphases, how to do this thing called life. As we trust and as we follow Jesus, are we truly believing in Jesus, who he is and what he's done? Are we entrusting our life to him? Are we living, we talk about these things, are we living our life by faith in him? Are we learning to put him first, even when all these other things are clamoring around at us, vying for the title, if you like? Can we learn what it is to put him first? You know, it's interesting, the story of the manna was with the Israelite nation, and God provided new, fresh manna for them every single day. And it's such a beautiful reminder that God is ready. God has manna. God has the bread. God has the ability to meet our need every single day. Are we going to him? Are we seeking him for that? Because we know that we can miss out. Now, there's many ways that we can miss him. You can miss him by just getting too busy in career and maybe just some of these other things and power, prestige, body, family. We can just miss by putting all these things right at the top rather than trusting him, by putting him first and allowing him to help design and help give us a way to live this thing called our faith, our following Jesus fully. But we can also miss him when maybe we start chewing on some other things, like bitterness. I don't know your story, but bitterness is deadly to discovering your joy in Christ, the joy, the satisfaction that God has for us. But we can and validate our reason why we should be bitter, why we should be angry, why we should hold whatever it is we're holding against that other person. We can justify it. We can satisfy it if that's what we want. But you see, if that's what we want, we miss out on what Jesus is offering us here. We can chew on other revenge. I was chewing really good, long, and hard on envy this week. That's what it was. Let's call it what it was. And when I'm chewing on envy, I don't get God's satisfaction. I don't get the fulfillment, the filling of God. Because I'm out there clamoring for all these other things that I just think that if I just got that, if I just got this, if I just did everything, you know, then we'd be all right. Am I alone here? No, I don't think so. So we can chew on other things. That's our deal. And this is what Jesus is talking about here. We've got responsibilities. We've got opportunities. And you are the one who gets to decide what you're chewing on. What kind of bread it is. Now, oh man, okay, time is moving. I got to go here though. All right, so as I was preparing, this is a hard one to hear. Because what I've discovered again this past week in dealing and helping and walking with people is that some of you have been deeply wronged, harmed, brutally and significantly neglected, abused. And Jesus wants to meet you in the midst of that experience, in the aftermath of that, in the learning how to deal with the pain of that. I believe with my whole heart that Jesus wants to bring healing. He wants to restore you. The anger, the shame, the sense of justice that you need, that you're holding on to so desperately that you gotta get justice. This revenge, this sense of it's not fair and it wasn't fair. I don't totally get all of that. It's possible for you just to hang on to all of that because it's your right. But if that's what you want to hold on to, that's what you kind of get. You continue to live and experience the brutality of what it was done. Please don't hear me say that you just got to go, oh, it's all good, it's all fine. Not a hope. What happened to you was wrong. And I'm so sorry that you had to go through what you've went through. But I also want you to know that God can meet you there. And God can bring some healing that defies what you went through. And so it's not just a quick band-aid. It is a significant healing of your soul. And you see, I can't personally talk to that as my personal experience, but Jesus can. He knows what it's like to be physically beaten, abandoned. He knows what it's like to die unjustly. And as he went through that, he discovered this forgiveness piece that didn't mean that all of a sudden all those things that were done to him were good and fine and wonderful. Peter says what it meant was that he was giving it to his Father. He was entrusting that pain to his Father. He was not going to bear it in himself fully. And that's what I want for you today, is to learn, to discover, maybe here for the first time, that that is possible. To entrust that to the Father and to find some forgiveness and healing and restoration. That's unbelievable. This is not just a snap of the fingers and it happens. This often takes time. It can take counseling. It takes walking with someone, a mentor, a friend, being able to open up and allowing others to speak God's truth to you. But I just want you to know it's possible. I desperately want that for you. And this is one of the ways that God can come and can bring satisfaction and healing deep within your soul. We're going to take communion now. Guys, the cross is the game changer. The cross is just the game changer. Our God, who created us, came and offered himself that we might find and experience life. He said, as we come to the table, he said, I need you to do this. I need you to put this into practice. And to do this in remembrance of me. There's all kinds of ways to take that statement, to do this in remembrance of me. In light of what he's done, certainly in memory of what he's done. But here's the thing. Jesus was the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. And Jesus will be the bread of life tomorrow. His sacrifice was a sacrifice to bring us healing and hope, is the sacrifice that brings us healing and hope, and will be the sacrifice that brings us healing and hope. And so this isn't just a cognitive, I'm just going to sort of remember, oh yeah, I remember that picture in that book when I was a kid and I saw Jesus on the cross and isn't that amazing? No, it's bringing your life to him. It's bringing those priorities to him. It's bringing those past hurts. You know, some of you are dealing with shame because you've done some things in your past, and if others knew, it would just devastate you. And here's what I know. God knows, and he's not going away. He's actually moving towards you. And he's extending his arms to you. And he wants to embrace you. And he wants to raise you up. That's the posture of our God, who is the bread of life. We are going to take communion now. We have three stations. There's bread, significant. There's juice, significant. Well, those who are serving, please find their way to the stations. When you're ready, just encourage you to go and to receive the bread, Jesus' body broken for you, the cup, his blood shed for you. Go back to your seat. We'll take it together. Yeah. So if you're ready, just make your way.
Hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. And I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. Broken, I run to you, for your arms are open wide. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. And I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart. I'm falling. I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry.
This cup, this juice, represents the fact that Jesus truly, literally died for us. Pierced his side, and his blood flowed. Offering us forgiveness, offering us this idea of a new relationship, a new covenant with him. If we choose to believe. So, Jesus, we thank you for your life, symbolized in this bread and in this cup. The life you lived, the way you lived, and how you interacted with both the good and the bad of the day. Those who flocked to you in adoration and those who flocked to you to kill you. We thank you. We take this juice, claiming your mercy and your grace for our past, for our present, and so desperately our hope for the future, God. Do this in remembrance of him. Today is Pentecost Sunday, 50 days since Jesus' resurrection. The early church would celebrate the fact that this is the day that the Spirit of God descended on the church. I remind us of that today because you are going to leave here in a few minutes and you might feel all alone. You do not need to feel all alone. The Spirit of God dwells within each and every one of you, for those of you who believe. The Spirit of God wants to bring life to you. The Spirit of God wants to bring healing to you. The Spirit of God wants to restore you. As I was sitting there just considering this, God was just reminding me, Lindsay, there are people here who just feel deep shame and regret for their past. Please remind them that they are forgiven. That I want to restore them. That there is new hope in Christ. But you need to believe that. And you see, a part of believing is moving towards him. And reaching out to him and trusting him with that experience. with that stupid, idiotic, hurtful thing you said? I don't know. That thing that for whatever reason, whatever you put into that category. You know, if you are here this morning and you hear some of what and you think you just desperately want that hope, that help to move forward, please don't hesitate to reach out to me here at the office. I would love to meet with you. I'd love to, maybe it's connecting you with someone who's gone through some similar experience who can actually walk with you and help you find Jesus in the midst of it. Maybe it's some form of professional counseling. I don't know what it is, but I don't want you to feel alone. The Spirit of God is with you, but so are we. So I got to run to the other campus. So you can't talk to me, but it's not about me. People are going to be up here willing to pray for you, calling down God's mercy and grace for you. Yeah. Okay. Well, Kim's not there. I thought you were still standing there. She left the building. All right. Break the tension, I guess.
Well, let's stand and let's close by singing Cornerstone, Christ Alone. Cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. So let's sing this together. And we're going to take up the offering at the same time. So if an offering plate comes by you, that's what's happening. So I'll invite the ushers to come forward. And we'll sing and we'll respond through giving together. This might not be working, so you just go with your own tempo. The Savior's love. trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ so glad that you've joined us for worship this morning. And like Lindsay mentioned, we will have people up the front. We would love to hang around and spend time in prayer, discovering how Jesus can satisfy your life. But as we go from this place, I want to leave us with this benediction from Ephesians 3, verses 17 to 19, which says this: May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So go in peace, and we'll see you next time.
Jesus.